Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Transportation Committee to order. Time is, I get the official time here, by golly, right on 1:30 and a half. PM, the 26th, January 2017, with me today is Senator McKinnon, Senator Bishop, Senator Egan, myself, Stedman, and we have, this is the opening meeting of the year. We have at the recording booth, we have Nancy Jones, who likes to follow the chairman's work around, which is appreciated. I think it goes back a long time, for years and years and years. And from the LIO, Cody Grusendorf behind me, who will do a lot of the other LIO type work, and there'll be standard fixtures of the meetings throughout the coming 2 years. On the agenda today, we have one item up from the Department of Transportation. We got Deputy Commissioner John Binder here, who will help take a look at some of the airport issues, FAA airport improvement programs and how it works, and the benefits to Alaska, aviation capital needs and priorities. And with enthusiasm, we have a new member, Senator Wilson. Welcome to the committee. And we're going to walk through this presentation. This will be a first of several. We're going to take a look at aviation. We're going to take a look at roads, harbors, buildings with DOT, and we're going to spend some time on the STIP, statewide transportation improvement plan that used to be the Stedman Transportation Implementation Plan. But now that I'm not the chairman of finance anymore, I have her with me. We're going to work on the DOT's version. We'll look at what's going on with DOT in the different regions, and then we're going to take a look at what's coming in the projections with the changes in Washington and the increased allocation of highway money. And we're going to be looking for soft spots around the state and try to help the Finance Committee by looking forward to where the needs are in the state and where the projects are allocated. And if we find soft spots or other areas, you know, we can work with the department to try to smooth some of that stuff out, so when they do their presentations for the capital budget to the Finance Committee upstairs, it'll help time-wise with them. It'll go a little smoother. So we'll probably be a little more active than some of the older transportation committees, especially the ones of several years ago, as we work through this, because, quite frankly, the funds coming into DOT might be a substantial bulk of the funds coming into the capital budget over the next several years. So we want to have a good, fair allocation of capital and quality projects moving forward. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Binder. I see we have the, and he can walk us through the presentation, and his boss can come forward if he wants to, or he could sit in the peanut gallery. That's up to him.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is John Binder. I'm a deputy commissioner with the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. I primarily oversee the aviation side of the house for the state. The state of Alaska does own and operate 242 airports, two of which are Anchorage and Fairbanks International. We consider those our international system. They're a separate, standalone enterprise system there that doesn't take funds from the general fund nor do revenues flow to the general fund from that system. The remaining 240 airports make up our rural system. We often refer to that as statewide aviation as well. And as we'll talk about today, the FAA's, Federal Aviation Administration's Airport Improvement Program, AIP, provides a significant portion of the federal funding that flows into the state related to capital programs. So that's what we'll focus on today. For slide two, I always like to highlight some of the great folks we have working out there around the state. They're Alaskans serving Alaskans. Today we highlight Kristen Patterson, who's an accounting technician up at Fairbanks International. Joined the department in 2016. She is a Purdue graduate, studied aviation management and air traffic control through that, and so wanted to come up to Alaska with her family, that she applied several times to a variety of jobs in order to get up here, and was accepted last year. has a life of aviation. Her dad worked as a mechanic for Delta for their private aircraft fleet there, so instilled with a passion for aviation, has been able to use that up here. She, her husband, and their daughter, Olivia, like to do a lot of outdoor activities there, so they fit in real well in Fairbanks. Moving to slide three, for the overview, I'll give kind of a broad overview of how the feds run that program, the AIP, how Alaska benefits from that there. Get a little bit into how this department determines capital needs statewide and then how we prioritize that in order to work that into the spending plan each year. Slide number four. Airport Improvement Program is funded by the Airport and Airway Trust Fund. That's a congressional program there. A lot of the ticket funds and everything flow into that, and that's a large part of how the FAA is funded as well. It does require congressional authorization and appropriation each year, or each time the budget's redone there. It does make federal grants available to any eligible airport sponsor. Their word for sponsor is just whoever owns and operates the aircraft. There are quite a few requirements on a sponsor in order for them to be eligible to receive those funds, things like having the financial basis available, the record keeping, the accounting methods and whatnot, so that they can report regularly how those funds are being used. And then once those grants are provided, then there's a lot of strings attached to those as well, since public funds have been used to upgrade the infrastructure for those. There's 39 specific ones, they're called grant assurances. So we are bound by those after we've used those federal dollars at our airports. Most of those strings have about 20-year life span on them. There are a few related to equipment or whatnot that only have 10-year strings. And if we acquire property in order to expand the airport or do any work on there, most of those are forever. So we end up signing a lot away by taking those federal funds each time. Slide five. The Airport and Airway Trust Fund is actually the funding mechanism that the nation uses to generate the dollars for this, created back in 1970. Again, I mentioned some of the passenger revenues and fuel excise taxes. There's a whole bunch of things that flow into that overall fund, but then that is the funding mechanism for really all the FAA's operations, their administration, a lot of the research and development they do. And then a big chunk of that is allocated for the Airport Improvement Program each year as well. We start narrowing it down a little bit, slide six. There, for the Alaska region specifically, the nation is divided up into several regions. Alaska is its own region due to its size and the number of airports we have here as well. You see kind of a breakdown. Anchorage is the medium hub there, and it just has to do with what percentage of the overall passenger population or the passenger numbers for each year in the nation they generate. Anchorage has qualified as a medium hub for the last many years. Anchorage and Juneau are the two small hubs. In order for an airport to be a primary airport, fall into that classification, they have to have at least 10,000 passengers board planes each year.
Just hold a second here. Senator McKinnon, you had a question?
Mr. Chairman, it's not a question. I just want to clarify. I believe, Mr. Binder, that you said that Anchorage was the medium hub, and I think that you may have just been speaking quickly. I believe that the small hub then would be Juneau and Fairbanks. So
that
I just wanted to correct that for the record.
We were taking proper notes, regardless of what you were telling us. So, go ahead.
So you mentioned the non-hub primaries there with more than 10,000 passengers. Essentially, if you think around the state, basically what we would consider kind of our hub airports that Alaska Airlines flies into with their jets for the most part. Bethel, Dillingham, Dead Horse, Barrow, those kind of places fall into those. Commercial service airports have more than 2,500 passengers a year, but less than 10,000. And then the FAA considers general aviation airports to be the rest of those that are less than 2,500. And that becomes important here in a few slides because the FAA allocates funding through the AIP based on what category of aircraft or airport those fall into. Slide 7 gives a little bit of a history there on how Alaska has fared over the last many years related to AIP dollars each year. Generally, we average about $200 million total that comes into the state. Realize that comes into the state as a whole, so not all of that is allocated in given years directly to the state-owned airports, DOT in particular. In fact, this last year, Juneau received a large portion of that money for their runway project there. But generally about 200. About half of that comes through entitlements, which are different formulas based on the category of airport that the state has. And then the remaining about half or so is essentially discretionary. There are a lot of rules associated with that, but it does give the FAA and the state a little bit more leeway on where some of those dollars are spent each year.
Could you give the committee, if you could, a guesstimate on what you think 17 and 18 are going to look like?
Sure, Mr. Chairman. The funding numbers, and you'll see here in the next couple of slides kind of how those are determined. As long as the AIP is funded above $3.2 billion each year on the national level, which it is going to be $3.35 billion this coming year, then all these numbers stay the same. The formulas and all stay the same. So we would anticipate, again, about $200 million coming to the state of Alaska for at least the next couple of years. Slide 8. Can be a little confusing. I'll kind of step through it there. The top line showing that $169.8 million, that's how much came to the state of Alaska airports, DOT airports, during FY16. Again, there's about another $40 million or so that went to Juneau, Soldotna, Palmer, and a few other locally owned airports. So the total number was just about $210 million. The bullets down below there show how the FAA divides up that money each year. So they get this coming year, they've got their $3.35 billion to work with. They allocate a certain percentage of that total, and they allocate some of that percentage, they divide it up among the airports that have cargo, significant portions of cargo. And Anchorage is number two in the country for cargo pass-through, so we do very well in that category, and so Anchorage generates about $12.7 million or so. Primary passenger entitlements, kind of same thing. They take another chunk of that $3.35 billion and divide it among the primary aircrafts or airports nationwide. And this last year, we generated $29 million for that. And then you just kind of see on down through. Our non-primary airports generated $11 million. The state apportionment piece, that is a formula based on the land mass and the number of people population-wise. So obviously we do very well on the land size piece there, not so much on the population, but that generally gets us around the $20 million mark. In addition, thanks to Senator Stephen years ago, Alaska specifically called out in the FAA regulations requiring that Alaska gets that $21.3 million each year, just due to the infancy of our airport system compared to the rest of the nation. So that's helpful. And then the discretionary portion I mentioned there, a little bit more leeway on that. There are a lot of states as well, as they're putting their projects together each year, aren't going to generate enough money in a given year for them to be able to execute their projects, so they're allowed to defer that money. So that money for that year flows back to the FAA for reallocation, and that's where a lot of the discretionary comes from, is money that other states aren't going to use that year. And they're able to add that up over a few years, so then once they have enough saved, they can execute their projects. Alaska typically does not turn back any dollars. We have more than enough projects to spend the money we get each year. Moving to slide 9. Mentioned it is authorized each year.
Senator Bishop?
Mr. Chairman? What you just said, we never turn money back because we have projects ready to go. I think that speaks volumes about the quality and expertise of your design team inside of DOT. Thank you.
Good Chair, Senator Bishop, thank you. I agree. The current authorization the FAA is operating under right now is a continuing resolution good through September 30th of this year. I mentioned the $3.35 billion funding level, so that is good. The overall, and that includes the appropriation for this year. They are authorized through FY18 as well, but then the FAA will be doing a reauthorization bill here in the coming months to extend beyond that. And we are already engaged with our congressional delegation and the governor's office as well to make sure that Alaska's desires and needs are incorporated into that. Moving to slide 10. The FAA each year sets up national goals and objectives, treating the airport system as a whole, different emphasis items that they need to focus on to make sure that the nation maintains a safely operating airport system. So you see a lot of those listed there, and they're pretty common sense type requirements there. Obviously the emphasis tends to be there on the safety and keeping people moving efficiencies, those sorts of things. Alaska does have some specific items, though, so when we move to slide 7, because we are our own region, our regional FAA folks do have the ability, working with the Department of Transportation, to establish what goals are necessary for Alaska specifically. And you see that for the last several years, the rural access, safety and security, and the pavement conditioning have been kind of those three pillars. One that you will have seen drop off since the last year is the runway safety areas. It was a big nationwide to develop those and expand those safety areas around our primary airports. That has been completed, so that's why that one has dropped off. But I expect these other three will continue to be emphasis items for Alaska for the coming years.
And if you could hold it there for a minute, Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On slide 11 for Alaska regional goals, are we involved in any mapping, aviation mapping? And is that a goal, or where would I find that inside of state government? I know it's been a huge concern for small aircrafts moving in and out, and as you pointed out in an earlier slide, over 150, I believe, smaller under 2,500 airports that is part of our system. So what kind of mapping is going on, and where would I look for that inside of DOT, or is it in another agency?
Sure. Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, there are efforts underway for the mapping. There's an elevation mapping project that's underway right now. DOT does have a representative in that that's primarily being managed through DNR and the Alaska Geospatial Council, which is a group of several folks in the working group there to manage those sorts of things, but it includes all the exact things you're talking about there, aviation safety elements, elevation mapping. Slide 12 and 13 just kind of highlight some of the key projects here in the current years that fall into some of those categories. Just kind of helps people put a little perspective on where that money's being going. Angoon does not currently have a runway. That would be a new airport here that we just finally got the record decision done. The EIS completed this last fall, so that will be kicking off here in the next couple years. Aniak is just starting here this next summer as well, doing a major reconstruction project out there. Akasuk is actually one of the North Slope Borough's airports there, so showing how we're working together with our other local sponsors to make sure they're helping get their projects into this mix.
Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Pender, on the new construction, I understand that local communities, smaller communities across Alaska need safe places to have airplanes land. Can you tell me, do we have airports in our system that are closely, that are close together? I'm thinking Tuxuk Bay as an example. There were three communities, as I recall, the last time I was there for a mission on suicide prevention when I was there with the council. And as I recall, there's an issue with a road connection for those communities, and it makes me ask how, when we're determining new locations, have we looked to see if there was another landing strip close by? Are these creating opportunity for communities to connect, or do they are they in close proximity to other existing airstrips?
Sure. Through the chair, Senator McKinnon. Great question. That's something we're always wanting to look. Certainly the FAA is not eager, or we as the state, to be pouring lots of money into new airports, if not necessary, if there's other viable airports reasonable distance with decent connectivity as well. Certainly as we find, as we look to try to consider potentials of clustering communities or that are close to a common airport, one of the challenges that in most cases even building the roads or keeping those roads maintained between those communities are more than building a new airport or building a location for them as well. So that factors into that decision. But absolutely, in the planning efforts that go into each of these projects before building a new one, that's definitely one of the major considerations.
Go ahead and continue.
Slide 13 kind of repeats there for pavement conditions, and you see some of the safety security items there on slide 14 as well. Realizing that generally when you think of airport capital projects, you're thinking of the big items, runways, taxiways, but realize there's lots of different pieces of that funding as well, getting down into equipment and security fencing, gate access controls. We're able to use a little bit of it for some of the standard maintenance repairs, striping on runways, some of those kind of things that don't often come to mind as well. And you see wildlife hazing mitigation there as well. Slide 15 just shows how it broke down this last year between our international system, Anchorage and Fairbanks, and our rural system. See the breakout there between discretionary entitlements. Generally, the international system brings in about 45 to 50 million or so of that total 200 for projects. You do notice that for 16, that number was a little bit low in the discretionary column there for Anchorage. Again, there wasn't a whole lot needing to be done at Anchorage during that time. So what that means is that those discretionary dollars went to the rural system at the FAA's discretion instead, which, again, a lot of communication between the department and FAA during that. Do you have a big project on the north-south runway at Anchorage this coming summer? So that's why you see some larger numbers projected there for Anchorage. Slide 16, on a rural system. See how that broke down? Again, that number is generally closer to 150. You see this year's a little bit less, and again, because a big chunk of that went to some of the local sponsor communities out there. Another question that often gets asked is, for these federal funds that the state gets, what is the match requirement on that? For the most part, really everything except for Anchorage, it's generally a 93.75 versus a 6.25, a state match requirement. Some of our most remote sites that are eligible for Essential Air Service, another federal program there, a lot of those are eligible for a 95-5 split due to their remoteness and some of the things that go along with them. Anchorage is actually an 87.75 federal share with about a 12.25 state match. Also note on the international portion there, since that is a self-sustaining enterprise system, those are not state dollars, GF dollars, that make that match. Those are generated through the International Airport Revenue Fund, the ARF, through rates and fees from the carriers. But generally in the budget overall, you see usually about authority for about $11 million to cover that authority piece for the state match. Slide 17 just shows some of the major projects we have coming up in FY17 and 18. I can certainly provide more information if needed on what all those are going to be, but as you can see, we've got a pretty good lineup for the next several years, again, to take advantage of those funds that are available. Slide 18 gets into, okay, how does a project become eligible for funding? It kind of speaks to it, big picture. As a project starts, that includes our transportation planners that are constantly engaged with the communities out there and determining what the capital needs are at each location. We also do capital improvement maintenance projects inspections each year. We call them CIMP inspections, C-I-M-P. Whole goal of that is to comprehensively capture what the capital needs are at each airport. From that, then our designers develop projects that will incorporate as many of those needs as possible. And then that goes before Airport Project Evaluation Board, APEB, there to go through a scoring process. We have several different criteria that we review each project against. Ultimately, it results in a score, and then that's how we prioritize our projects statewide, so making sure that the projects that are the most urgent are the ones that are getting the attention first priority, and then working down from there. We're constantly reviewing that list. Certainly if there are emergencies that pop up, natural disasters, those kind of things, then we can insert those as needed there despite a score, but then always working to make sure we have good justification for why that may be bumping something else later in the years. Generally, we keep about a five-year spending plan up to date, so that's what we have projected out over the next several years here, which kind of gets to being prepared for any of the stimulus that may come our way here with the new administration.
Mr. Bishop, on that point, on the stimulus, I've heard mentioned infrastructure, you know, bridges and roads and that kind of thing, but I might have missed it. Has there been any discussion from the administration about airport stimulation, expansion and airport funds? I don't. You're in that world, so I was wondering if I missed something. Or
through the chair, Senator Bishop. The only thing I've seen, in fact, I just saw today an article, kind of $1 trillion total infrastructure. A number's been thrown out there, and I saw today that about $30 billion of that is looking to be allocated toward the aviation side of the house, being rolled into the airport improvement program over several years. So how many that would mean per year, what the timeline would be on using that, we don't have any insight into yet, or what the requirements might be on that. But that's the first number I've heard as far as a potential target.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the Mr. Binder before we Senator McKinnon and Senator Egan?
I'll hold and go after him.
Senator Egan.
Deputy Commissioner, are you done yet? Because I have follow-up stuff.
Through the chair, Senator Egan, yes I am.
Okay.
I'm happy to entertain any questions.
Thank you. Juneau is the largest municipal airport in the state. And, I mean, you don't own it. But how do we fit into the picture?
Mm-hmm.
How does Juneau fit into the funding picture? I know we did really well last year.
Sure. Through the chair, Senator Regan. Great question. Certainly as far as working to coordinate as an airport system for the state, statewide aviation and Department of Transportation takes on that role to make sure that all airports are talking to each other regardless of who the actual owner and operator of that airport is. As far as the actual funding mechanisms, Juneau has its own rate and fee structure. So through fuel flowage fees, fuel taxes, landing fees, all those kind of things, generate their own revenue. So they make their own match, for instance, to federal dollars. They also cover all their own operating costs, those sorts of things. When they have capital projects coming up, we work very closely with them in helping assist with the grant applications, making sure all that is squared away. And then those grant applications actually funnel through DOT to FAA, just keeping track of the dollars.
So if we get funding like our snow removal equipment facility, that all goes with the approval of you guys, of DOT, or do we do that directly through our own lobbyists?
Sure, through Chair Senator Egan. DOT is not approving that, just helping facilitate the paperwork flow.
We're not objecting to it, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And John, one more question, Mr. Chair. So we have, you said, 242 state-maintained airports.
Correct.
General doesn't count. So what's the second state that has a state-maintained airport in numbers? I'm just curious.
I believe it's Oregon, Senator Egan, through the chair, and they are about 40, I think, that are state-owned. Most states do not own and operate any aircraft. They have a division of aeronautics that helps kind of oversee some of the grant management pieces and some of the overall compliance, security, safety type items. But as far as owning and operating airports, we're a little bit unique that way.
Wow. Okay.
Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, first it'll go to a follow-up to Senator Egan. If Juneau, through landing fees and other structures as a municipal-owned airport, come up with their own matching money, is that first at a 95% match? Is that accurate?
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, yes, I believe their match is the same, the 93.7 roughly.
93.7?
Mm-hmm.
So then does the allocation from the federal distribution be subtracted from the state of Alaska?
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, yes, that counts as certainly Juneau is earning some of their own through the entitlement piece that they get, but the numbers they've had to use the last few years ends up using a lot of the discretionary as well. And yes, that does, Alaska is just treated as a whole during that, so whatever goes to Juneau comes out of the DOT cut, if you will.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, if I might.
Yeah, go ahead.
We have a reciprocal agreement, I believe, with other corporations that land at state-owned facilities across our state for fuel, and we give those those airplanes, those aviation fuel users a foreign fuel tax exemption. I believe it's about half of the current fuel tax. And I'm wondering if there's a reciprocal agreement, because the indirect expense report for marine fuel for gasoline and for diesel and for aviation fuel is reduced for foreign vessels, and I'm wondering if we get something in return for that exemption. Do you know the answer to that?
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, I do not know the specific answer to that question. Related to our international air traffic, state statute does specifically exempt international traffic that either had an origination or a destination in a foreign country.
So you could get back to the committee on the answer to that question, though.
If you would, Mr. Chairman, I asked that question 2 years ago when we were looking at tax credits, and I did receive an answer from DOT that indicated that I should not touch the foreign fuel exemption, and I was led to believe it was because there's a reciprocal agreement, but I haven't been able to locate the reciprocal agreement, and I believe that Minnesota has just went through and removed that tax credit per se. And so it's something from a finance perspective, when we're looking at taxing Alaskans and talking about the use of our earnings, if there's not a reciprocal agreement for similar type vessels going into other foreign waters outside of American waters, then I'm more likely to pursue the elimination of that tax credit. But if there's something that's happened at a congressional level through a treaty agreement, it just would be helpful for the Transportation Committee to know, because it's a foregone revenue piece that might be available to our state.
If you can take the time to look into that and get back to us, we're going to have a fuel tax bill up also, mm-hmm. So we'll take that information and roll it into that discussion.
Certainly will.
So that'll better prepare for that bill, and that'll be coming up here fairly quickly, I think maybe next week. Other questions for the department? Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On slide 17, Tuksuk Bay is actually called out. I didn't know you were going to talk about it. So I had the privilege of going to meetings in Tuksuk Bay. But there are three, and I had the privilege of meeting two different villages that came in and participated in a working group in that community, and it was a wonderful experience. I'm wondering if there's another airport or a landing strip close, because I see that we're investing in both buildings in Tuksuk Bay and an airport renovation. So is there another facility in the two villages that are within 10 miles of that is already existing? I asked that question. You answered that it was considered in the criteria. You did not tell me on either comment on Angoon and Aniak and Tuksuk Bay whether there was another airport in close proximity that has an adequate landing strip.
Sure. Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, for Angoon, there is not another airport available for that community. For Tuksuk Bay, I do not know the answer to that one offhand, but that I'll add that to my response list.
I think for Angoon, there's not another airport on the whole island.
No, correct.
Seaplane.
Right. Yeah, water.
How about Aniak?
I don't know, but you can get back to the committee and more detailed answers on those airports listed there, and we'll have time to look into that. So, any other questions?
Comment, Senator Mr. Bender.
Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be having my staff don't know it, but they do now. They'll be getting in contact. How long are you in town for, sir?
Through Chair, Senator Bishop, I'm leaving this evening, but I'll be back next week and the following week.
I want to talk to you about Northway Airport, sure, and some leasing options there.
Absolutely.
Any other questions for the department? We'll let them off easy. Senator Wilson, you're going to save your first question for the committee to the next meeting? Okay, that's okay. Senator McKinnon.
Senator Stedman, the only other question that I can have answered later is that I see Kivalina is listed under rural access, and I'm worried about the erosion that is happening there. So is that a safety factor that we're moving into for Kivalina, or have we solved some of the conditions about relocation for that community? I know it's a safety issue getting goods and services in and out of that area, but if you could follow up with me later, that would be helpful.
Be happy to.
And maybe respond back to the committee on that answer if you could, sure. So all committee members will have that information. Any other questions, concerns? We'll let him off the hook. He's our first presenter in the 30th session.
Mr. Chair.
I'm sure you'll be back because we'll go into some other issues a little bit deeper. The next scheduled meeting is Thursday the 31st, 1:30. We're going to have DOT, DNR. We're going to start looking into the permitting process and how we can try to or take a look at some of the impediments and moving forward with some of these permits and how we can maybe adjust things to make things better for the department and quicker for the department to get our projects on the street. And do we have any other business to come before the committee before adjournment? Seeing none, thank you very much for your presentation. We are adjourned.